So in complimenting elders are deacons.
Deacons. Yeah, the pointy hats.
I don't think so. Oh. What deacons are you talking about?
Don't like the Catholic deacons have that pointy hats? So don't somebody? No, why is it
the deacon? I know the priest sometimes has a pointy hat. So if elders oversee the spiritual health of the church, then what do deacons do? And are deacons elders? Because I think some people come from churches where the deacons are the
elders. I've seen it where you have like a pastor and then you have a board of deacons.
Yeah.
And then you're like elder and they're like, what's that?
Yeah.
So in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, the main difference between the lists of qualifications for overseers and the list for deacons is teaching. That would be one of the main things that would be different. Historically, I mean, we've looked to Acts and the appointing from the apostles to appoint deacons. You know, that's been a kind of a marker that deacons care more for the physical elements.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles didn't want to get caught up waiting on tables. And so they appointed deacons.
I don't think they were ever called deacons, but it was kind of like
the seven.
That's the picture of it. Yeah. The picture of it was like, look, there was so much ministry to do. It made sense to divide it between, you know, those who needed to devote themselves to prayer and preaching the word. And then those to serve the particular needs.
Yeah.
And then you see Paul doing that more explicitly, right, with the church in Ephesus.
Yeah, and in Philippians, he addresses the elders and the deacons.
Elders and deacons and the church, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so here you have what you have is like a pattern. You have teaching from Paul, and you have this pattern of it made sense to have a division of leadership where you had some people serving practical needs and the other doing, you know, soul care.
So back to the seven. In Acts chapter 6, there was the widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. The apostles said, what you guys already said, we'll give ourselves to the attention of the word and prayer. And then the apostles said, therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. And then the church chose men who are full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and it names them there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was more of a task-driven initiative, but like you guys said, formed a pattern. So
it might have been like an administrative piece to it too, because like in that story, or that passage, you know, the issue was there was a discrepancy. Some widows were getting and some weren't.
Yeah.
Some were being overlooked, and it was just a matter of like, well, how do we make sure, right, that we're, you know, reflecting the gospel in caring for people regardless of whether they're, you know, Hellenistic or, you know.
And I think it's important to note that these aren't just guys who have skills either. I mean, they do have skills. But again, character is emphasized. 1 Timothy 3 and the Acts 6 passage emphasize character again there. So you want to have spiritually mature people who can, their lives can be emulated through their devotion to God. Examples to the flock. So what do that's a lot of D's.
What do deacons do?
What do deacons do? What do deacons do?
And specifically?
Specifically at our church or like in our church context or modern day times is what I'm getting to, because not every church has everything that other churches have that deacons do. So what are some things that they might?
Practically in our church, so on a Sunday, they are probably their busiest. So they oversee the setting up of chairs here on Sunday morning. So we have one deacon that specifically recruits that team, schedules that team, makes sure that the chairs are set up. So we set up our chairs every week, and then the deacons will count how many people are here. They take the collection.
Mm-hmm.
So we have boxes that are in our church, and they empty those boxes, count the money, and there's always a process where there's two deacons that are together, and we have an accountability process with that.
Oh, that's good. So we don't have a Judas, right?
Right, yeah. They make an accounting of the finances
and make a deposit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
cross checks.
Those are their probably biggest responsibilities on a weekly, and then they close up the church after our service on Sunday.
But sure, it's all locked up. We have other deacons who oversee the grounds, Like we have contracts with landscapers who do the cutting grass and all that type of stuff. So there's a deacon who oversees that, and or there's special building stuff that comes up, like the roof or the air conditioning units. And so that's a deacon responsibility. So those would be examples. But also you see in the scriptures, I mean, they're taking care of widows.
Mm-hmm.
So deacons could be called upon for meeting practical needs in the church. And our church has inquired about those things in the past. You know, are there any widows in the church who need help? Is there someone who needs their, you know, their bushes cut at home? You know, maybe they are a widow or someone who's in need. And that would be something that the deacons could take care of. So. Oh, I was going to ask you a missions question. So
yeah.
When you're doing church planting, and you think about, we talked about elders last episode, but also deacons, how do you go about training church planters to think through the appointing of leadership in the church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you approach it?
Yeah, that's really tough, especially when I'm working with, you know, Indian pastors and church planters, and trying to get them thinking more about what Christ wants to happen in that village and that church that started, rather than, you know, just kind of their own ministry. It's hard. It's hard to help them to identify and to raise up local elders. That's a challenge. And then addition to that, deacons. In India, our experience has been the easiest way to help them identify deacons is really just to point out the issue of the need of financial transparency.
Oh yeah,
right. So it's a simple one. You know, it's like why isn't my church giving? It's like, well, because they see you, they put it in the hat, and then you put it in your pocket, and they don't even know how much is given, and they don't know where it goes. And then so what we would train them to do is, like, next time you get an offering, don't let them hand it to you. Ask the group to appoint two treasurers. We'll just call them treasurers at first, right? Mm-hmm. Treasurers who are responsible. You know, have these like character qualifications. They can't be, you know, in the same family.
Cousins.
Right. Yeah. And they got to be kind of in the eyes of the whole group. And this could be like a very fledgling church. In the whole eyes of the group, like responsible people that they would trust together to count the offering. Now, together, let's decide what we do with the offering, right? And that whole process invites transparency to the whole church. Like, this is where our money is going. It usually increases giving, but it usually is the first step towards actually having deacons.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it separates, it really protects the pastors and the leaders just from the, you know, it's like, is this a business for you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, what's your, you know, and it's like people on the other end is a hard step for some people to take, especially if they've been in the habit of just taking the offering. Cause a lot of these pastors and church planners, that's kind of some, for some people, that's all they have to live on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really saying it's like, let them decide what to do with it. And then you end up working for them instead of them for you.
Yeah.
Which is biblical.
Right. There's accountability.
But what we found is that when people actually took that step out of disobedience to Jesus and just like, clearly this is what God wants me to do, the giving increased, and they actually saw God do a lot more with what they were giving than before. So that was a very, very hard step. And the other one that was really hard was with elders as well. So it's hard. Again, it goes back to, doesn't, you know, American culture, you know, you have that executive leadership, you know, the Steve Jobs kind of person that like burns everyone around him, but man, he's a good leader.
Yeah.
That is toxic, but that's everywhere in the world. And that's in India too. So it has different flavors, but people have a hard time, again, servant leadership, empowering instead of doing the ministry, inviting people into the ministry and leading through multiplication and influence rather than control. And I guess, you know, making yourself look great.
Yeah, deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So again, it's not a, hey, we just need somebody to help out with this position. You know, there's character qualities behind mm-hmm. it. I do appreciate the one holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. So
yeah.
These deacons also have to have a clear testimony and a mm-hmm. clear conviction about their faith in Jesus, mm-hmm. not just performing a function. You know, I'm really good at setting up spreadsheets to oversee finances.
Hey, Jesus is the best accountability partner.
Yep.
So
that's good.
It's like you can have the perfect system where you have checks and balances and all that kind of stuff. And in the end of the day, if someone, you know, doesn't have a clear conscience as they're holding on to the faith, it's like, you don't want to trust those people.
Yeah. So our deacons are so very important at our church. We wouldn't have coffee on Sunday mornings if we didn't have, you know, deacon ministry. And
you should say essential then.
Essential. Yeah, essential. People who work along with the deacons and just great men who serve so very well. So one of the things that attracted me to this church is that we have elders and deacons, and we call them elders and deacons.
Oh, and they do elder.
They do eldering and they do deaconing.
Wow. Perfect.
But yeah, I was like, all right, I feel like I see that in the Bible. I see it here. And so I think it's been a blessing at the church too. So
awesome.
Always looking for deacons too. One of the ways we try to raise up deacons is every now and then we do a little deacon breakfast and introductory. We read an article that goes to the character qualifications of deacons. There's also a book from Nine Marks. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's Deacons, but who the author of that is. And we go through some concepts in there too and just introduce people to the idea of it. And if someone's being considered as a deacon, they can shadow on a Sunday morning any one of our deacons and say, here's what we do and things to look out for. Deacons work closely too with our security team, which will be another episode, but we have a security team that they work closely with too, so overseeing the physical needs of the church. Yeah. So thankful for deacons, servants of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.